This is Mel Rojas Jr. You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News.
You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where your passion for the Hanshin Tigers knows no limits. And we don't care if you speak English or not. You are welcome to this show. Today is Thursday, July the 15th, and this is episode 132. I'm your host, T-Ray. I am in Nishinomiya, Japan, home of the Hanshin Tigers. Today with me, halfway across the Pacific, is Sanjay in Hawaii. How are you doing, brada?
Aloha, brada T-Ray. I'm doing very well. I'm here in Honolulu, Hawaii, home of the McKinley Tigers. And how's it, brada?
How's it? Yeah. So, speaking of McKinley, yeah, that is the home, the alma mater of Tadashi Wakabayashi, who was the first legendary pitcher in this team's history. I just put up a book review about his book on H10, so go check that out, everybody. You can do that after you listen to this show, but we have got a good one for you. We are giving our players their midterm report cards, as this is the middle of the season. It's also summer break for our boys. So, strap in. Join us for the great ride. It's time for the Rumors and News.
Rumors and News. Rumors and News.
As always, we want to talk about our foreigners first and foremost. So, first up, the big question mark. Where in the world is Wei Yin Chen? I have not seen this man's name in the headlines, in the box scores, or anywhere else. I don't know what's happening with him, but he got farmed after a couple of starts way back in April. I think he got like one start at some point. He had an MRI and we haven't heard the results, but given that he's not pitching, you can't help but wonder. I don't know, is he pulling a, was it the Steve Miller Band that took the money and ran?
Yes,
I just wonder what's going on here.
Steve Miller Band indeed. Very good.
Yes, thanks. So what's going on? I hope that we can hear some news on him sometime soon. If we do, of course, we are going to report on it. So stay tuned to H10. Mel Rojas Jr. actually got called up the day that we recorded the last show, which was also the day we interviewed him. He actually didn't know about his call up when we interviewed, but he found out soon after. An interesting thing about him is that he posted on Instagram, "I'm back." And that was before the club had announced his promotion. And what he meant by that was, I'm back on Instagram, because he'd taken like a month off of social media. But the club kind of didn't really like that he'd done that. They thought he jumped the gun with some news. Not the case. He came up to the top squad anyways, had a couple of starts, did not do very well. He got sent down a couple days ago, July the 13th, to make space for starting pitching. But his batting average is still under 100, man. I think he got two hits during his time up, both of them singles. So kind of unfortunate for him. I hope that he makes an impact in the second half. And then John Edwards. This is kind of an interesting one. You know, he has been a reliever since the start of his time with the Tigers and also in America, presumably. He's gotten two starts the last couple of weeks. So July the 6th, he started against the Hawks on the farm, four innings and three runs against. And then 2 days ago against the Carp, he went five innings and two runs against with just three hits, including one Kevin Crone home run, struck out six and walked zero. So I don't know if they're grooming him into a starter and what they're planning to do, because that would give us four potential foreign starters in Gunkel, Alcantara, Chen, and Edwards. I mean, we could almost make up our whole rotation that way. It's kind of crazy.
Cherish the thought. Or perish it.
The big news, though, of the fortnight is probably the fact that the Tigers made a trade. And we tend to make like these little piddly trades that don't make a difference to the team. You know, once a year or whatever, we get this new guy who may or may not make a difference. This time, we got a guy in the trade and we put him into the rotation 2 days later. That would be Akira Niho, who was playing with the SoftBank Hawks. And to make space for him, we traded them Masahiro Nakatani, which was kind of a surprise because this is a guy who has hit 20 home runs in a season. And if you know your Tigers history, that's no small feat. However, he has struggled a lot. He had not played a single game on the top squad this year, and he had very limited action last year. And so it's kind of not a huge surprise that they have traded him away. I don't think he's played on the top squad there since. But my thinking is this, Sanjay. The reason that he was so expendable is because we've got this guy named Dan Onodera, who's also a right-handed hitter, who also has roughly the same numbers as Nakatani on the farm, and basically the same skill set plus maybe a little bit of speed. And so I'm thinking, well, 28-year-old Nakatani, 23-year-old Onodera, if they're basically cut out of the same fabric, who are you going to keep? Who are you going to give the top squad chance to? It's probably going to be Onodera. And that's my guess as to why he was expendable. Any thoughts on Nakatani before we shut the door on him forever on this show?
Oh, come on now. I kind of like the guy. You know, he contributed for us back then. And, you know, and we thank him for his work with us. And we wish him all the best. No, I agree with you. Onodera is, you know, Nakatani 2.0 with more bells and whistles attached. And to be fair, though, the Hawks, I think, were really, really hurting in the outfield. So it kind of made sense that the it was going to be a win-win-win. Win for us, win for the Hawks, win for the players. And I, you know, those are the trades that I love. So I'm happy that this one happened.
Right, exactly. I would say the same thing as well. I think that it's going to benefit both guys. And, well, Niho's already had two appearances with the Tigers, and we'll talk about those in the recap a little bit. Anyhow, we wish Nakatani all the best. I don't mean to slight the guy by any means. I was really thankful for his big contributions in 2017. And I really think that he is a skilled player that just maybe needs a new home in order to spread his wings and fly a little bit. What better place than SoftBank? Okay, a couple things that came across the wire in the past day or so. Koyo Aoyagi and Ryutaro Umeno won the Interleague Battery Award. I didn't know such an award existed, but the outstanding battery of the Interleague play goes to our guys. And so that's kind of an exciting thing, especially in light of the fact that these guys are both going to Tokyo to represent Japan in the Olympics. And so I don't remember Aoyagi's exact record during that time. I should have looked it up before the show, but he did pitch very well during the Interleague time and really all season, as we'll talk about in the report card session later. So congrats to those two guys. A couple of records that have been, or accomplishments that have been reached, actually just got reached yesterday. And that would be, one of them is kind of a shameful one, and that would be Teruaki Sato, who tied the rookie record in NPB with 121 strikeouts. And keep in mind, this guy has still got 59 games left to play, so there's a good chance that he's going to break the record. But anyhow, yeah, he certainly is enjoying swinging at plenty of pitches outside the zone, and hopefully that will change in his favor in the second half. I'm kind of glad that the guy gets a month off to kind of sort things out, watch some video, take some more practice, and so on. And then the other award would be, or accomplishment would be, that Koji Chikamoto became just the fifth player in team history to get 100 plus hits in his first 3 years since being drafted. So pretty big accomplishment there. He got his 100th hit yesterday. Obviously, he wasn't too happy about the way the game ended, but he'll take that accomplishment and keep it going, hopefully, for many years to come. I really like what he's doing at the plate, especially in the past, say, 2 months. He has been outstanding.
Yay.
Okay, on the injury front, we have two guys to report about. The first would be Haruto Takahashi. I'm happy to report that he threw batting practice. He threw 52 pitches and says that his off-speed stuff felt really good. His fastball is not still where he wants it to be. But again, the good news here is that he's got a whole month to ramp himself up to be ready for the second half. And hopefully that month is going to be enough. And as you may know, we're playing exhibition games, so he is going to get a chance to get in to see some live batters and some real game situations during that time. We really need him in our rotation if we want to overcome the push that is now happening with both the Giants and the Swallows. And then also, Keisuke Kobayashi, who went down with an ankle injury about a month ago, he played on the farm a couple days ago. He pitched the ninth inning, and I think the very first pitch that he threw was hit for a home run. After that, he was clean. He ended up getting the win because our farm boys walked off the game. But, well, he's another guy, again, another piece. You and I both know, Sanjay, this bullpen needs some help, and if Kobayashi can provide it, I'm all for it.
Yeah, in fact, how's your right arm these days? Because we could use it.
Yeah, for real, man, for real. I'm a left-handed pitcher, though, so it doesn't matter how my right arm is.
Oh, that's good. Even better. We need the crafty lefty.
There you go. There you go. Oh, I think I can top out at about 80 kilometers per hour. All right. Before we get into the recaps, let us thank our fine folks at Patreon. And by the way, for those of you who have physical benefits owed to you, they are coming out to you very soon. I'm hoping to put those in the mail today or tomorrow. Well, let's thank Richard Guywitz for his awesome contributions on Patreon and just his overall fandom. We love that he is following the Tigers closely from out in Eastern USA. Tom Zilla, however, is right here in Kansai, and he is following the Tigers as well. We appreciate him and the Being Kansai social media accounts, where he is keeping everybody up to date on all the good stuff that's happening in the Kansai region. William Schofield, set to come to Koshien at some point. I don't know when things will open up between the UK and Japan, hopefully soon, and we will get him here at a game with T-Ray. We'll be having a great time. Rick Silver has joined us on several viewing parties. He is on the digital platform, and we thank him for his support as well. And finally, Doug, big respect to T-Ray and Sanjay for making the podcast I'm always looking forward to, and a shout out to my little boy Teo, who was born this year. Go Tigers!
Go Teo!
Maybe he's crawling by now. All right, let's recap. So I predicted a 7-5 record with one rainout during this span, and JD predicted slightly better at 7-4-1. We were both being overly optimistic because, let's cut to the chase, it was a 5-8 stretch. Not a good one for our boys. I guess the good news, and we'll cut to the chase here as well, is that we are still in first place, 2 games ahead of the Giants and 2.5 up on the Swallows. So honestly, through this whole first half, we have been in first place, I think, except for like one day back in like game 5 or so when we had a 3-2 record. But I think other than that, we've been in first place the whole season. So pretty impressive go at it from our boys. And if this is our bad stretch, then I'm fully accepting of this. Okay, real quick. We're going from July 1st to 14th. We hosted the Swallows and lost 6-1. Umino hit us a home run in the bottom of the 6th. Yamada hit a home run in the top of the 7th. Gunkel actually did quite well, but then Suarez and Baba with a big meltdown in the top of the 9th. Suarez actually allowed, I think, a couple of runs, two before he got pulled. Then Baba did the rest of the damage, but 4 of the runs went on Suarez's record. So that was the one burp that Suarez has committed all season. Not too bad. It's kind of a shame that this was the same day that he came out on the front cover of the Tigers magazine. So bad timing on that. So we go into Hiroshima for a 3-game set, and not a good one. We lost 7-1 in the first one. Yuki Nishi with a terrible meltdown in the bottom of the 2nd, giving up 7 hits and 7 runs. Chikamoto with a sac fly in the top of the 7th, and we had lots of chances, but we couldn't cash anyone in. So Nishi is still sitting on 99 wins as he waits for another chance the next week against the Giants. We win the second game with Ito no-hitting the Carp through 4 innings. Marte pushing a run across in the top of the 3rd with a bases-loaded grounder. And then Nakano with possibly the play of the year. It was a 6-2 double play. I don't know if you saw it. It was, I think, a bases-loaded grounder. And he had to take a step back to 2nd, and then he still threw the runner out at home. And it wasn't even a force out, I think, at that point. Or maybe it was. I'm not sure. Anyhow, outstanding play. Great defensive awareness. And then Marte with a home run in the top of the 7th. Ito gets out of a jam in the bottom of 7th, and then Sans, Itohara, and Marte put the nails in the coffin for the Carp 5-0 win, with Saito and Oyokawa cleaning up in the 8th and 9th from the mound.
Yes, I did see that Nakano play, and my goodness, what awareness, right? And he saw the runner not going and then going out of the corner of his eye as he was making the play at 2nd, and had the wherewithal to spin and make that throw to the only place where the tag could have been made. The dude is the real deal.
Because he had no chance at the runner at first. It was, or the runner that was heading to first, and it was Noma, who has quite a bit of speed. So yeah, like incredible awareness. And he was just being praised by all sorts of baseball analysts the next day. Fans, of course, as well. Unfortunately, we weren't able to carry the momentum of that game into the next one, which was 4th of July. Chikamoto with a triple, and then Itohara cashing him in with a grounder in the top of the 1st. Sans with a 2-run home run in the top of the 3rd, so it looked pretty good, but then Akiyama sputtered in the bottom of the 3rd, got pulled early. Tigers had great chances in the top of the 4th, 5th, 8th and 9th, but couldn't get it done. Ishii came in the bottom of the 5th, got into a jam, got pulled. Iwasada couldn't bail him, and Sakakura hit a two-run RBI double, so we were unable to pull off the series win, or just the game win in this one. Really unfortunate 4-3 loss. It's okay. We come home for we go on the road for 3 against the Swallows, and we are highly successful against them this season, and the success kind of continued here. We won the first one 5-1. Oyama hit a home run in the top of the 3rd, which was his first home run in 17 games. Sato with an RBI double. Umino with a sac fly. Nakano with an RBI single in the top of the 4th. Oyama with an RBI single in the top of the 8th. And then Baba blows up in the bottom of the 9th. He should have been able to nail this one shut, but couldn't. So Suarez came in and got the save, even though it was a 5-1 win, because there were a couple guys on base for him. So the interesting thing in this game, though, was the big controversy. And that had to do with Chikamoto. And is he stealing signs? Is he trying to send a message to the batter? We can actually put a link to the video, a really well-done video by Cosmopolitan Baseball, who has a great YouTube channel that covers a lot of great NPB stuff. Anyhow, was Chikamoto sending messages to Sato? And so there was a big brouhaha. What do you think about that? Did you see that, Sanjay? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was watching that, and of course he was not. I mean, if he were, he would have done a better job of it. I mean, that was just so silly on the part of, you know, the opponents to even raise issue with it. I mean, man, then did you hear the commentary that's going back and forth? There's a good old Kansai banter, like fighting words going through there.
Yeah. Well, and mostly coming from Yano and Coach Inoue. And understandably, because, I mean, what a stupid accusation by Murakami. I mean, I know that he was probably, that, by the way, is the Swallows' third baseman. He was probably just trying to bring attention to it, but he did it in such a way that it did stir up quite a bit of anger. Interestingly, there was one person who thought for sure Chikamoto was stealing signs or imparting something to the batter, and that would be some guy named Kasahara, I believe, for the Giants, or who used to be with the Giants. And this is a guy who got busted gambling in 2015, so I think you can just shut your cake hole because you have no say in this, especially if the Tigers are doing something. You want to talk trash about people not doing the right thing? Take a look in the mirror, buddy. Come on. All right, let's put that one in the ground and let's continue going. July the 7th, When You Wish Upon a Star Day in Japan. And we got a home run in the top of the 1st from Jerry Sands, giving us a 2-0 lead. But Akira Niho making his debut with the Tigers. Again, this is 2 days after the trade. Gives up 3 runs before he even records his first out with our team. Ultimately settles down to a 5 innings pitched, 4 run performance, which is neither great nor terrible. Sato tied it up with a home run in the top of the 4th. That would be his 20th of the season. And we had great chances in the top of the 5th and 6th. And also in the top of the 9th, we could not get a run. And in the bottom of the 8th, Saito got beaten by the bottom part of their order and a third string pinch hitter. So unfortunately, we lost this one. This one, though, also featured a couple of great defensive plays. One where Sato gunned down Aoki at second base when he was trying to get the extra base on his hit. The other one, San saved a couple of runs with an outstanding diving catch down the left field line in the 6th. I don't know if you saw that, but that was Super San's right there. I have never seen him make such an outstanding play in the field.
He needs a cape with a big S on it, man. He was flying. He was Superman.
It was unbelievable. So you'll have to try to dig up the video for that, everybody, if you have not seen it. Okay, moving on. We take the series with a big 6-5 win on the 8th. Marte with a home run in the top of the 2nd. Itohara with an RBI double in the top of the 3rd. In the bottom of the 4th, they got 3 runs, but Umeno hit an RBI single. And then this is in the top of the 8th to tie it up 3-3. And then Oyama with a 3-run home run in the rain, opposite field. He comes up clutch. I don't want to say for once because we'll see that it's actually for twice, because later in this recap, he does it again. But Iwasaki gives up a 2-run home run to Yamada. That would be his 2nd home run he gives up to Yamada in as many appearances against him. Baba gets the win. Suarez gets the save. And we are feeling good coming home for a 6-game set to close out this part of the season. Now, unfortunately, our team has been pretty atrocious at home since before Interleague. We haven't won a home series since May 11th through 13th. And the trend continues here. We lose 2 out of 3 to the Giants, 2 out of 3 to the Bay Stars. Giants, we win 4-1. I was at the game. It ended early because of the rains, thankfully, because they were threatening to at least tie the game, if not worse, in the top of the seventh. But it was nice. We got to see a couple errors out of Wheeler and Sakamoto to get us to help us get a couple runs in the top of the third. Then Wheeler atoned for his mistake with a home run off the left field pole in the top of the fifth, but Chikamoto gets one back with he hits one to center, RBI single, and then Marte with his Marte McFly in the bottom of the sixth. And so 4-1 win for us. Felt good. It looked like, you know, we are going to put some breathing room between us and the Giants. No guy. Big disastrous game at the H10 viewing party on Zoom. Ito with a wild top of the first with three walks, hit one batter, gave up four runs. So we're down 4-0 before we even get to the plate. Also, that included an error by Umino in there. But nothing good here except for a sans solo home run later. It was a bad game. We lost 8-1. And let's move on to the more exciting game of the three. And that would be a 1-0 loss. Yeah, I know. Unfortunate. It's just one. It's 0 points for us and actually only one hit. We didn't have any base runners after the third inning, which is pretty pathetic. But really, like Nishi and Yuki Takahashi, both Yukis then, I guess, were outstanding through seven innings, two base runners apiece. So a very fast-moving game. But then in the eighth, Kamei led it off with a double. They bunted him over to third, and then Oshiro singled one through the left side of the infield for the lone run of the game. Nishi kind of did not hit his spot with that pitch. It was an 0-2 count, and he should have thrown a clear ball just to get the batter's eyes go in a different place, but he hit the strike zone, or it was close enough to it. So we lose 1-0. I would have taken a tie in that one, man. I would have been happy with a tie, honestly. Tie the series with the Giants and move forward. But anyhow, that loss kind of stung. And, you know, the only thing that prevented us from having a 5-game losing streak to end this part of the season was a miraculous comeback win against the Bay Stars at home on the 12th. Aoyagi pitched a good game again, 7 innings pitch with just one run on his tab. But there were a couple runs that came as a result of his error and Sans's error. But in the bottom of the ninth, with our team down 3-0 and two outs and a runner on first, we got a Sato hit to put runners on the corners, Chikamoto RBI single, Itohara RBI single, Marte RBI single, and that was after a very sketch 0-2 pitch that looked like a strike, but they called it a ball. And then Oyama with the game tied, and this is it. Either we tie or we win. The very first pitch he saw, he hit up the middle for a walk-off. RBI single, we win 4-3 in a miracle game, and it looked like it could have really demoralized the Bay Stars and really sprung us to greatness, but no. The very next inning, that would be the first inning of the next game, 8-2 loss, by the way, Alcantara blew up, gave up three runs, and then a couple innings later gave up a home run to Austin. How many times have we said this in recaps, man? Austin home run. Probably more than we've said Oyama home run this year, my goodness. Anyhow. The Tigers got their first run in the bottom of the seventh, and then we got a home run out of Sands in the bottom of the ninth, but that at that point it was already 8-1, and that was thanks to an implosion by Fujinami, who gave up four runs, well, I guess technically three before he got pulled. He didn't record a single out, and then one of the inherited runners scored. So 8-2 loss, really embarrassing. We come into, this is yesterday's game now, and Gunkel also kind of struggled, giving up three runs in the first five innings and then getting pulled. So it was, I think, 3-0 at that point, but Chikamoto hit a solo home run, and then we had a rally in the bottom of the eighth, which fell short. We had Itohara with an RBI single, and then Sans with... What I wrote in my notes, I was trying to be clever, man. You know, his walk-up song is by AC/DC, and then I wrote OCDC because that stood for something, and I forget what it was. But anyway, Sans did something.
OCDC is like obsessive-compulsive syndrome, right?
Oh, man, I should look it up. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm failing at the end of the recaps. But anyhow, Sans did some good stuff there as well. We, unfortunately, were not able to complete the comeback. Oh, OCDC, Oshidashi. Oshidashi, a bases loaded walk.
Yes.
Pardon me. It was a great at bat. He really fought hard. Because I think it was an 0-2 count, and or no, it was a 2-2 count, but everything that Yasuaki was throwing at him was in the dirt. It was almost the same pitch, and you could clearly see he was falling for it some of the time, but not enough. So he ended up walking, and then Oyama walked, so the bases were loaded, or that was before that, pardon me. And then Sato had the bases loaded, had a chance, and was unable to come through. He struck out. So we lost that one 4-3. Yeah. So all that to say, our record is 48-33-3. We have 59 games remaining on tap. And as I said earlier, we're 2 games up on the Giants, 2.5 up on the Swallows. And who cares about the rest? Because I think they're 10 or more games behind and looking like steaming piles of garbage, because that's essentially what they are. Any thoughts, though, on this fortnight, Sanjay?
Yeah, I want to just highlight that. You mentioned the sketch call on Marte on the third, what you thought was a strike, what they thought, people thought was a strike. Actually, yep. I thought that was a makeup call, because the second strike after the 0-1 count was totally a ball. And I'm seeing so yep. many of these on the inside part of the plate with the umpire set up in between the catcher and the hitter, the right-hand hitter. And it's clearly not going over the plate, and they're calling strikes. And that's happened more than once. I mean, it's happened, I want to say, like at least 5 times in the last 2 weeks. And it's really bothering
me. The reason they don't have that box the way that MLB does is, I think, because the umpires here are so bad, they would be missing their calls so much that it would just really look bad for the league. And honestly, yeah, like this wasn't the first time, and it probably won't be the last time. And so it's kind of a hard situation as a fan, because if we find ourselves sitting complaining about every missed ball and strike call, and I do it, you know, it's going to make our lives really miserable more often than not.
No, I agree. But maybe it's time to bring in that whole automated, you know, Cyclops thing like they do in tennis.
I would be okay with that, honestly. Yeah. I mean, something's got to give. We got to get a bit more accuracy.
Consistency. Consistency is good.
Yeah, exactly. Time for the hot topic. And as we promised earlier, we are going to be given our guys report cards. That's right. It's time for a little bit of a midterm break and take a look back on the season so far and talk about how each of our guys is doing. So we're going to go through this. We'll save the pitchers for later. We're going to start with the position players and only going with the guys that have been getting the bulk of the time at each position. So let's start at catcher. Our man, Ryutaro Umeno, who is on his way to the Olympics. What is his grade, my man?
I get to go first. I gave him an A-. It would have been higher because he was hitting better for just regular average earlier on in the season. It's come down a lot since then. But hey, runners in scoring position, he's hitting .385. The guy was the reason why we had that remarkable come-from-behind victory against the Swallows, where he just battled and battled in the bottom of the ninth. He's the glue. And as I always say, the catcher performs double duty between, you know, all the defense on his shoulders and having to hit as he does. So, yeah, A-, even though he's only hitting, what, .247 in regular batting average.
Add to that the game against the Eagles, in which he kind of did a similar thing, right, where it was 2 outs and he really battled and battled and walked. And then that led to the Chikamoto RBI triple that gave us the win. So, yeah, definitely I like what I see from Umeno. Some of the things I don't like from Umeno, and again, I may be picking on him too much or whatever, but I feel like, you know, his strikeout numbers are incredibly high, which I'm not a big fan of. I feel like for a guy that hits for as little power as he does, and unfortunately that is the case this year with just 2 home runs, the 70 strikeouts is kind of a bit of an eyesore. His on-base percentage is .314, which for your, you know, for lower down the order is not too bad. I definitely would like to see him pick up his batting game just a little bit more, get the ball into play a little bit better, and then also he's got 6 double plays, and it seems like they are kind of untimely a lot of times. So I give him a B, but it's a solid B, maybe even a B plus.
Is there ever a good time for a double play?
Well, no, there isn't. But there are times where it's like, okay, if we're leading by 5, I don't mind if he hits into a double play. But
sure,
you know,
sure,
we need
that's
one
true.
Run, or you know, or where somebody before him has battled to get himself on base and then he does it. You know, those ones kind of hurt that much more.
Fair point.
But well, you know, there's other guys that are worse at hitting into untimely double plays than him, so we'll let him off the hook for that. So what about Jeffrey Marte? I have got him listed as an A+. And my explanation for that is simply that he is the hardest out for other teams' pitchers to get. He looks at absolutely a ton of pitches. So this is a guy whose batting average is .284, which is quite respectable, but his on-base percentage of .400 is highly impressive. I mean, again, that's the highest on the team by far, and it's probably top three in NPB right now, or pardon me, in the Central League right now. Add to that the fact that his previous career high for home runs was 12. He's got 16 already. He's also got 11 doubles. He has walked more than he strikes out. And even on defense, he has been quite outstanding as well. So there's nothing about him, and even the intangibles. I mean, he's a great character. He is a great presence in the clubhouse. So there's nothing about this guy that I dislike or I think I would like him to improve upon for the second half. How about you?
Well, I had him as a solid A to A+, so I have very little to disagree with you on that front. I would like to comment that I am impressed by his OPS at 900. His runners in scoring position average is 338, and he's got 16 bombs. So, you know, he's really doing a lot. And as he pointed out, his plate discipline has been really, really outstanding. He doesn't get fooled on those low breaking pitches that fall out of the strike zone. And he's really a nightmare to the opposing pitchers. He is like one of the three guys I want to see up at the plate with the game on the line. So, yeah, no arguments there.
So this is a guy who last year also had a good K to BB ratio, but he played very limited, you know, he had very limited action. It was 14 of 14, but the year before that, his first year, he had 73 strikeouts and 51 walks, which is still pretty good. But this year, you know, he's got more walks than strikeouts. So he's really trending in the right direction there. You gotta love some Jeffrey Marte. There you have it. All right, Kento Itohara, what is your grade on the former captain?
Yeah, so this might be a little bit harsh, but I'm going with a B+ for him. And it's probably, I'll be the first to admit, it's probably unfair to fault him for getting injured, but he did get injured and he left the team when the team needed him. And, you know, yeah, so that's a B+ for him.
I don't think that's being harsh because I'm actually giving him a C. I think that his defense, ooh, especially his range, is not very good at all. I really don't like what I see from him as far as that goes. And then even just, you know, you talk about, I talked about a lack of power with Umeno. Well, it's basically kind of the same thing with Itohara, where he's got the one home run. I mean, we don't expect a ton of power out of him, but just 12 doubles and two triples to go alongside that. So his overall slash line is not that impressive. It's a 682. Again, pretty poor defensive range as well. So I just really don't like what I'm seeing out of him at all. Again, he's not failing, but he certainly is not getting a passing grade out of me. On this season, and again, I'm kind of looking at the strikeout to walks ratio as something, as a kind of barometer of how he's doing or whatever. This is a guy that's kind of trended the wrong way for a couple of years now, because in 2018, he walked 86 times and struck out just 73. So he had way more walks than strikeouts. The next year, he was 60 and 70, respectively. So he's still pretty close. And then the year after, last year, in limited playing time, 19 walks and 33 strikeouts. This year, all of a sudden, he's got 17 walks and 37 strikeouts. So double the strikeouts to walks. And this is a guy who used to walk more than he struck out. So I think that he could do his job and what he's capable of doing a lot better than he's been doing this season, hence the C.
I do have a question, though. What, I thought C was like a satisfactory grade. It's not a passing grade in Canada?
C?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's satisfactory, which is why I'm not saying he's a failure, but this is why I can't give him a B or an A, so I wouldn't say that he's doing a great job so far this year.
Okay, okay. I thought you said you wouldn't give him a passing grade.
Oh. If those were the words I used, then I strike those words from the record, but no, he passes, but I definitely think that our future at second base is somebody else. I'll put it that way.
Fair enough.
Okay, so moving on to the hot corner to Yusuke Oyama. What do you say about him? I'll go first. How about that? I'm going to give this man a D, and you may not like that. That's still a pass, but barely a pass. He has come through a couple of times when needed, as we heard in the recaps with the two kind of, the one walk-off and then the one late inning home run heroic. So he has done that. But if you look at this guy's overall numbers, his RISP batting average is .213. He also is batting just .245, which is extremely low. And he's got just 10 home runs and 43 RBIs. And I don't want to look over at the other side of the fence because the uniform on the other side is always oranger. But Kazuma Okamoto has got 27 home runs and 80 RBIs at this point in the season. And so it's almost, well, it's more than double in home runs and it's almost double in RBIs. And so the production between these two, I mean, it makes a huge difference in the games, right? When I look at the box scores and just when I'm following kind of play-by-play on the Giants and the Swallows and I see like another home run from Okamoto just when they needed some insurance runs or just when they needed to, you know, catch up or whatever, like Okamoto to me just seems to be the, you know, the epitome of clutch. And then Murakami is beyond clutch. He's just like a wrecking ball where any pitch that gets in his way, he's hitting that thing far. And Oyama just has not really done that for us. He kind of looks lost. And again, his strikeout to walks ratio is also quite pathetic with just 18 walks and 47 strikeouts. So his strikeout total is not terribly high, but he definitely is not doing his job across all these different areas. His defense at third is okay, but he does have the occasional blip on the radar where it's like, okay, what was up with that throw or whatever. So I don't know, man. I really liked what I saw out of Sato at third base. And I'm not saying that Yusuke should be, punted out of there permanently, but I definitely would give Sato a couple of reps there and put Oyama on the bench for a couple games or drop him in the order.
Wow, okay. I had Oyama with a grade of C. And maybe there's a little recency bias going on in there. It probably would have been C minus or lower if he didn't get to 10 home runs just recently. I agree with you with his sometimes questionable defense, but I've seen some really good plays from him recently, and I think the recency bias is kicking in for me. I think his D is plus, on the plus side of the agenda, and I think that he has, performed well in certain games and given us wins in certain games, and so I can't completely dismiss that. Now, is he performing to the level of Murakami and Okamoto? No, he's not. And even Yano himself has said, we need Yusuke to hit for us to be better. And that is as true a statement as Yano has ever made. So, yeah, C for me, which is passing, but it's not something you brag about to your parents.
Certainly not, yeah. I mean, so we could have bragged about him last year where he was in the home run title race at the end of the season. And even now, if it was like, well, he's hitting consistently or he's showing signs, but I really don't even know if he's showing signs because outside of that walk-off single and the home run, I mean, those are almost his only two hits during this fortnight. I mean, he's been just really cold at the bat. And he also hit into a double play that we didn't need. Haha. We don't need any. I'm really hoping and I'm expecting more out of him for sure. Okay, rounding out the infield would be Takumu Nakano, who has gotten definitely the bulk of the playing time at short. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I gave him a solid A. And really, as you know, maybe I shouldn't be factoring in the fact that he's a rookie, but he is a rookie. He's got 16 stolen bases, which is, one off the lead of the team and then way high up in there in the league as well. He's batting .278. When you got a middle infielder hitting around .280, you're doing well for yourself most of the time. So to me, and with this, his defense, my goodness, his defense. I mean, we talked about his play earlier in that play second to home. But even yesterday, he just laid out and he did his impression of Jerry Sands with a Superman catch. The guys, I think I commented on this in Facebook, but I'm trying to figure out if I need to buy one jersey, if I can only choose one jersey to buy, do I get number 8 or number 51? I'm leaning towards 51 right now.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, he's definitely having himself a good rookie campaign. I am going to give him a B, and that is because A, I'm stricter than you, and B, because I'm not factoring in that he's a rookie. I'm very impressed with his stolen bases. I'm very impressed with his defense, in spite of the 13 errors, which I think that number is going to come down eventually. But 13 errors are 13 errors, so he's got that strike against him. The other one is a very decided lack of power, and I think this is going to come as he matures. And so again, I'm not grading him on who he could be. I'm grading him on who he is. And I've seen several of his hits lately. He's hit the ball fairly well, but the ball just doesn't travel. It, you know, he doesn't have a lot of power for his bat. So when he hits a line drive, a lot of times the outfielders are able to get to it. So he's not getting the extra base hits that he will get when he gets a little bit stronger. I think his home run numbers will go up a little bit. And also even just, you know, the number of doubles and triples that he is able to get are going to go up in the next 2 or 3 years. But right now, I really think he needs to bulk up in order to be able to hit the ball with a bit more authority, to get himself on base and to hit to get some more RBIs, because he has had a lot of chances with guys in scoring position. So a B from him. And again, that's just me being very strict.
Can you just remind me next time not to take any courses that you teach? Because, man, you're a tough grader.
Well, I haven't given any Fs yet. So you'd pass at the very least. Okay. Let's move into the outfield. And let's talk Jerry Sands first, because he is the left fielder. What's the word on the Sandman for you?
Is there any other grade than an A-plus for him? Runners in scoring position, he's hitting .333. He's got 17 home runs. His defense, as we pointed out recently, the guy gets to a lot more balls than he has any reason to or any right to. And his OPS at .860, A-plus, man.
Okay, well, since I gave an A-plus to Marte and his numbers are better than Sands on the whole, I'm going to have to go a little bit lower. I'm giving Sands a B-plus, actually. I'm not as impressed with his defense on the whole. Like, it is good, but his range is not very good for the most part, I don't think. And then the 5 errors in the outfield is pretty glaring. I mean, like, outfielders tend to not have that many opportunities to commit errors. If you look on the other hand, like, Sato's only got 2 and Chikumoto's only got 1. So I think there's a little bit of, I don't know if it's a lapse of concentration or lack of ability, but I don't like that number at all. But on the whole, yeah, I mean, he's doing quite well. If he can pick up his average and his on-base percentage a little bit, I would give him an A. But, you know, Marte with the 400 on-base percentage to Sands' 350 means that I've got to give a slightly different grade to, honestly, a guy that is one of my favorite players. Let's move on then to Chikumoto. And again, sorry to be the strict teacher, but I'm giving him a B so far. He got off to a slow start, so that kind of hurt him. I also think that for a leadoff hitter, and I talked about this a little bit on the post-show last time, his ability to get on base is not where it should be for a leadoff hitter. 328 is quite low. It needs to be a lot better than that. I think he needs to look at a lot more pitches, and I know this is not his style of play because he's a guy that puts the ball into play. He tends to swing or put the ball in play on the second or third pitch of almost every game, and I often feel like that is maybe not a recipe for success in the leadoff position and to get us those early leads that we need. But I do like from him, of course, his speed, his defensive range. I do like the fact that he's got 27 extra base hits, which is better than Oyama. So I think it's actually pretty high up there. I mean, Sato's got 41, so that's like exceptionally high. And Sands has got 34, but I think after that, oh, and then Marte's got 28. So Chikumoto's 4th though on the team in extra base hits, which is pretty impressive. How about you? What do you say about Chikumoto?
Well, I guess I'm an easier grader than you are, because I have him as a solid A as well. And, you know, to your point, he did start off very poorly, and yet he's hitting .292 now, which to me means that we're trending in definitely the very, very correct direction, and in a big way, too. You pointed out his defense, yep. And he's got 17 stolen bases, which is tops on the team. This surprised me a little bit, actually, when I was looking through the numbers. He's got only 29 strikeouts, which is about 100 less than his pal on to his left as you look at the plate. The guy does it all, and he's the little engine that can. And, you know, I'm not so negative on his being aggressive and hitting the first or second pitch every at-bat. I think that's the style that Yano wants to cultivate, and that it makes sense for the pitchers that he's doing it against, because why put yourself into a hole so that you're going up against a guy that with pinpoint control 0-2, 0-2 every time. I think it's okay. Be aggressive, man. Keep being you.
See, I think though early in the game, sometimes the pitcher doesn't have his command of all of his pitches or anything, and it is acceptable to watch a couple of pitches go by, especially like, I mean, if you look at the stuff that he's swinging at, and I know like they're not privy to knowing when they start their swing, if the pitch is going to be down the pipe or not. But a lot of what he's swinging at tends to be like on the fringes of the zone. And I just can't help but wonder, because I just see so many ground outs to second, ground outs to short to start games. And it's just a little bit kind of disappointing. I don't know, like maybe this is just me being really sticky and having, you know, being insistent on this, but I'd love to see a leadoff walk to a game. I don't think I've seen him do it all season where he's started the game with a walk. So
I think you're right.
Just a little bit more patience.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I don't think he's ever had a leadoff walk, but yeah, that's who he is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who am I to coach him on baseball, right? Okay, speaking of coaching guys on baseball or needing maybe somebody to coach him a little bit during this break, we have talked about Teruaki Sato a little bit already, but what is your score on this guy here? I'll start. How about that? I'm going to start by giving him a B+. And I'm not really factoring in that he's a rookie. So if I were to say for a rookie, I would give him an A, if not A+. But as I said, he's leading the team in extra base hits with 41. So 21 doubles and 20 home runs. The 20 home runs lead the team. He's only hit into two double plays. He's stolen five bases. He is batting .267, which is pretty good for a rookie. Actually pretty good for a power hitter in general. I mean, if your power hitter is hitting 270, I would say you're doing quite well for yourself. So he's got a lot of good things going for him. He's also got 83 hits in 84 games. So he's, you know what I mean, on pace for 140 hits this season. And if you know, like right now, roughly half of his hits are extra base hits. You think about it that way. I mean, this is a guy that's going to have 70 extra base hits by the end of the year. That's pretty darn impressive. The thing that, of course, is going to give him a little bit of the boo birds for me is that 121 strikeouts. And you can say whatever you want to say about, well, an out is an out. Well, it's true, and yet it's not. You know, when the bases are loaded and you need to put the ball in play to get a run home, and let's say it's no outs, bases loaded. Well, worst case scenario, you hit into a double play and score a run. Or, you know, with him, he doesn't even hit into double plays. So if he just puts the ball in play, there's a chance that we're going to exchange, you know, out for run. But on a strikeout, you're not getting that. So I think, like, he's got to think a little bit more about situations. And instead of always trying to hit the ball out of the park, which is great to see as a fan, you know what I mean? Like, you got to look at each situation. If the team needs one run, why try for four when your chances of scoring the one, if you just, I don't know, like, swing for contact instead of swinging for power, your odds of getting what you want are a lot higher. So that's my one knock on him and the B+.
All right, fair enough. Again, me being the easy grader, I have the rookie curve that I'm grading on. So he gets an A+ from me. And that's because he's leading the, as you pointed out, he's leading the team in home runs at 20. Anybody leading the team in home runs gets a good grade from me, period. So as a rookie, hey, no brainer. His OPS is at 833, which again is, you know, nothing to be ashamed about. Yeah, he has 121 strikeouts actually. And you're right about, you know, bases loaded and you don't get a run if you just strike out. I think that will come with time. In fact, I was, and you know, I like the fact that he is effectively memoryless, right? He can strike out five times and still go at it and swing for the fences. And I like that about him. He will mature. He will become more of a situational hitter, I suppose, as he gets older. In fact, in that one series where we came from behind to have a sayonara victory over the Swallows, he dinked one into center field against the shift. And, you know, he wasn't swinging for the fences at the time. He actually, yep. I think he was very situationally aware and did what needed to be done and got the job done. So I think that, you know, he's maturing. He's, you know, he was a college student a year ago. So I'm cutting him the slack and giving him the A+.
Okay, well, that's fine. Again, that's just a difference in teaching style / grading style, which is fine, you know. So that's all good. All right. So that's all. That's as far as we're going to go with position players. And now we're going to look at the pitchers, and we're only looking at guys who have thrown 20 innings or more. So we'll go through them in order from most innings pitched to least. So we're starting with the guy that everybody has been calling ace since he joined the Hanshin Tigers. That would be Yuki Nishi, who has 98 and two-thirds innings pitched on the season so far. What kind of score do you give Yuki Nishi?
I'm giving him an A minus. And that's mainly because he doesn't have a winning record. He's at 4-6. Now, how much of that is his fault? Sure, he could give up zero runs and then he would have fewer losses. But he's 9 of 15 in quality starts. Out of 15 starts, he's got 9 quality starts. His walks and hits per innings pitched is 1.16. The poor guy has been putting up gem after gem, and he's still stuck at number 99. I think we want to cue the background music for Toto's 99 over here at this time. Anyway, I like him. I thank him for what he's been doing, and I really want to celebrate 100 real soon, next time he's pitching.
I really like him too, but I'm still just going to give him a B, and the reason is because he hasn't been nearly as consistent as he's been in years past. The 7-run stinker against the Carp was completely unexpected, because he usually does well in Hiroshima and especially against the Carp. But also, he's had a couple of other kind of flare-ups this season where in years past he really hasn't. And if you look at his numbers on the whole, this 3.19 ERA that he's got this year is, it might be on par for his career numbers, but when you compare them to his last 2 years with the Tigers, it's not what we expect out of him. And so I've got him as a B because he has certainly been dependable. Like, even I remember there was a game where he gave up, like, I think it was 5 runs, and it was fairly early in the game, but Yano stuck with him, and Nishi actually pitched shutout innings through the end of his start, which went, I think, 7 or maybe even 8 innings. So he is capable of still hanging in there in games where he doesn't have his best stuff, but the games that he doesn't have his best stuff are increasing. Like, a 60% quality start ratio is not that good, especially for someone who's supposed to be your top pitcher. Because we can contrast that with our next guy, who is Koyo Aoyagi, who has 12 quality starts out of 14. So I'll start, since I've already started. I'm giving Aoyagi an A+, because he has just stepped up his game to a level that nobody has expected and has been an absolutely dependable pitcher for the Hanshin Tigers. So just looking back at his last 6 outings, he has not allowed more than 2 earned runs in any of those. He's also gone 7 innings or more in each of those. And so we're talking high quality start for 6 straight. And during that stretch, he is 5-0. He is definitely worthy of the naming to the Samurai Japan squad. And I've got nothing but an A+ for him. No area that I think he can improve in. How about you?
Oh, I have no arguments there. I mean, I have him as an A+ as well, and he's 8-2. Even those 2 losses probably aren't really that deserved. And his ERA is at 1.79 for the season. I think it's a lot lower recently. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but no arguments. He's the stud. He's A for Aoyagi.
That 1.79 is tops in the Central. So I mean, you really can't go wrong with that. That's just absolutely outstanding. All right, the next guy has 78 and two-thirds innings pitched, and that would be Takumi Akiyama, who played last night out of the bullpen for the first time this year, and the first time maybe since 2016, if I'm not mistaken. He's got a 3.32 ERA on the season so far, and is his typical self when it comes to control, with only 12 walks so far on the season, and that balances up against 64 strikeouts. What's your grade for Akiyama?
Akiyama's name starts with an A too, so he's getting an A minus from me. He's had a couple of hiccups, but he's really still the workhorse that he has been. I love hearing him grunt after every pitch, which we can hear these days because the fans are supposed to be muted or at least quieter. I'm just waiting for him to turn on a pitch and send a monster home run outside the park one time again.
If they'll give him the chance, they tend to call for the bunt for him a little bit too much for my liking. I would just love to see them go for the big inning and make teams pay for it. So, just a side note, Imanaga last night got 2 hits off of our pitchers, one of them being an RBI hit. And I just can't help but think, like, maybe our guys need to be up there and with the right presence of mind to actually try to put the ball in play and get a hit. I feel like sometimes our pitchers are just standing up there, you know, just waiting for strike three to be called. This is not a knock on Akiyama, but I think that, you know, the other team's pitcher tends to go easy on the pitcher that's up at the plate, knowing that it's a quote-unquote easy out, but Akiyama would not be an easy out if he were given permission to actually aim for the hits instead of just, you know, advancing the runner or bunting. So as for my score for him, I'm giving him a B-. I think that he is doing okay, but he, again, has had a couple too many hiccups for my liking. He gave up 6 runs in 5 innings pitched against the Bay Stars, and even in interleague against the Ham, 3 runs against in 5 2/3. So he's had a couple of like not so great outings. His quality start percentage is also on the lower end of things. Like, I think he could be doing a little bit better. What's the number here?
8 for 13, I think. Eight quality starts out of 13 starts.
Yeah, 61.5%, which is not bad. It's a little bit better than Nishi, but I'd like to see a couple more quality starts out of him. I feel like sometimes he gets gassed a little bit too early and he gets pulled before the 6th inning, which for a guy who's still just 30 and is built the way he is, I kind of expect a little bit more. So B- for him. Next guy up is our rookie second round pick, Masashi Ito, who has 76 2/3 innings pitched and 12 starts, which is pretty impressive for a guy straight out of the amateur draft. ERA of 2.7, a wins loss of 5-5 with 43 strikeouts. So a fairly low number there. In fact, lowest K per nine on the team. And 24 walks, which is not bad. So his K to strikeout ratio is just under 2, which is not great, but also not terrible. I'm giving him a B+. I think that he has had his share of good starts, and he really is, other than his last start, which was not a good one, he really has been as advertised. You know, he came in saying he's a guy that no matter what, whether he's got his best stuff or not, he is able to keep the team in the game. And he's done that through, well, 11 of his 12 starts. I would say he's definitely kept the team in the game. So I'm really impressed with that. He is a crafty lefty who is going to continue to improve on his skill set. And even where he is right now, I think to myself, where would we be without him in the rotation this season? And so B+ from me. How about yourself?
Yeah, we would be in a very ugly place without him in the rotation this year. So he's got a solid B+ for me as well. You know, just like you say, 2.7 ERA from the rookie. Hey, bring it on, man. Long may you continue.
We agreed on a grade. That's amazing. Like, I don't think that's happened yet. So good. Either I went soft or you were a little bit harsh. Anyhow, let's move on then to Joe Gunkel, who's got 69 1/3 innings pitched. 12 starts, 8 of them quality. 6 wins, and just the loss yesterday would be his first blemish as far as that goes. I like Joe. I'm giving him an A. It's not an A+, but I'm giving him the A because he's got a 2.47 ERA, which is outstanding. Only 2 home runs against, my man. I feel like even when the other team hits him, it's not even extra base hits that often. So I think like he's just got good enough arsenal that he's throwing the other team off to where they can't predict where the pitch is going or what pitch is coming. The proof's in the pudding. This is a guy whose whip is 1.04, which is lowest on the team, lower than, or among starters anyways, lower than Aoyagi even. So A from me. How about yourself?
Oh man, how can you not give him an A+? What's it going to take to give him an A+? He's got, for every reason that you stated, I'm giving him the A+. We can agree to disagree.
Okay, well, I'll let you in on a little industry secret, I guess, and that is that generally speaking, it's hard to give more than one A+ to more than one to one class. And so amongst the starters, I kind of have to taper it off a little bit after Aoyagi, and so he's my A+, and that gives Gunkel the A.
You haven't heard of great. You haven't heard of great inflation, man. Everybody gets A+.
Not in my class, they don't. Okay, Alcantara, Raul Alcantara. What kind of grade are you giving this guy? He has pitched 40 innings and has 7 starts, 4 of them quality, 2-2 record, 4.05 ERA.
Yeah, I think there's a recency bias for me on this one. He's getting a B, B minus.
Okay, I'm giving him a C minus just because I feel like he has not been as advertised. when it comes to going deep into games, and also I think he's getting hit around a little bit too much for my liking. When you're giving up more than one hit per inning on average, which he is, and I think he's the only starter of ours who's done that, I've given him a C-. Okay, on to the bullpen. And as you know, this has been really the Achilles heel of the team, especially I think since the start of Interleague, it's really become glaringly clear that this is where our team suffers. But we'll start in the closer role with Robert Suarez. Even though he has less innings pitched than Shinchan, that's also because Fujinami started 5 games. So Suarez with 35.1 innings pitched, 1.53 ERA, and a whip of 0.74. Can we both just say A+ and move on? I honestly cannot give a different grade than that to him.
Agreed. A+. A++ even.
And a gold star. Yes. Let's give him a medal when he comes back from the mound, for crying out loud. I mean, if, you know, he's hitting a home run, he's hitting the equivalent of a home run every time he goes up there on the mound.
Agreed.
Right? He's given up runs in 4 of his 36 appearances on the mound. 32 times he's come back with a 0. I mean, what to say, right?
Get this. Opponents are hitting 182 against him.
Yep. We could spew numbers until everyone agrees it's an A+. So let's just stop right there.
Yeah, okay.
Outstanding, Robert Suarez. I love you. Okay. Next is the 8th inning guy, Suguru Iwazaki. What say you?
I think I'm being too generous at a B+.
Yes. I've got him as a C, my friend. He has been pretty awful lately. His ERA has inflated to 3.56, and he seems to be giving up the long ball a lot, which means to me, I think maybe he's lost something on his fastball, or maybe not enough bite on his off-speed stuff. I haven't watched closely enough to say which one it is, but I really haven't liked what I've seen out of him, especially since that towel came out saying he's glad to have finished the inning and putting up a 0, because it hasn't happened that much since then. So a C for him. Okay.
Let's give the C to
that. What about his counterpart?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, let's give the C to that advertising guy who came up with a towel idea.
Maybe we can give him an F. I don't know. Okay. The next guy is the one who is supposed to be the 7th inning guy this season and is now on the farm. That would be Captain Yuta Iwasada. I'm giving him a big fat F. And that is a really harsh grade, but this is a guy who has given up 4 home runs in 23 innings pitched, which is incredibly high. He has a 4.18 ERA, and that he and another guy on this list are incredibly guilty of not being able to shut the door and strand runners that they have inherited. And so that 4.18 ERA is actually quite a bit worse if you think about the guys that he's allowed to score when he's come in with guys on base. And I know it's not entirely his fault, but he is being called on to put out the fire, and put out the fire he has not.
Fair enough. I had him as a C-, and it's for the same reasons. I'm just a more lenient grader than you are.
You just love the Tigers more than I do, that's all.
Now, that's a very contestable statement.
Okay, let's go to our last two, and these guys are also going to be contestable statements. Just, in fact, saying their names could get us sent, you know, off the airwaves. So the first one would be Shintaro Fujinami, and he's got a 4.35 ERA. That also got stacked upon the other day when he gave up 4 runs without getting a single out, but what kind of grade do you have for Shinchan?
Yeah, Shinchan had the C- as well from me. That's as low a grade as I give, so we consider that a failing grade, if you will.
Okay, I'm giving him a D simply because he has shown flashes of brilliance. He has definitely done some really good stuff, including, I'm going to harken way back to, I think, what was maybe his last good start on the mound, and that would be against the Swallows, where he went 5 2/3 and gave up no runs. And also hit the game-winning home run in a 2-0 win. He has got a high strikeouts per 9, higher than anybody on the team, including Suarez, at 9.15. And if you can kind of like turn your eyes away from the ugly 31 walks in 39 innings pitched, he's actually quite serviceable. And maybe his role in the bullpen is secure, at least for now, because we don't have anybody else.
We don't have many people that can pump in 100 miles an hour.
No, That's true. It's him and Suarez and nobody else. Okay, the last name, and that would be a guy who's thrown 24 and two-thirds innings with a 3.65 ERA and a 3-0 record. And despite that, Kosuke Baba, you are getting a D from me. Simply because, as I said earlier, too often you have allowed the stranded runners, or pardon me, the inherited runners, to score, and that's not cool. And just too many walks and too many deep counts where it just looks like, okay, your primary pitch isn't working, your secondary pitch isn't working. How are we getting out of this inning? And somehow he pulls off the miracle more often than not, but I never feel comfortable when he's on the mound. So D.
I'm with you on not feeling comfortable when he's on the mound. I mean, they don't say Baba Gekijo, the Baba, I guess, drama, if you will, for nothing. I'd like to call him Bubba, but that's neither here nor there. I'm giving him a B just because there's so many B's in his name, and so I'm giving him a B. But you're right. Too much blood pressure issues when he's on the mound.
Okay, well, that B was extremely generous, but okay. Let's go to our last grade, and that would go to the skipper, Akihiro Yano. What do you say, man?
Well, we're in first place at the All-Star break, so I'm giving him an A-. I mean, you know, for all his issues that we have with him calling too many bunts or what have you, you can't argue with the results. The players love him. He loves the team. A-, and when he gets us that pennant at the end of the year, A+.
So I'm actually going for the A+ right here and right now, and that's just because of a bias that I have. I love Akihiro Yano, and by the way, I just read in the headlines, I didn't read the article, but I believe he has been already offered a fourth year as the Tigers manager. So it's kind of unusual for it to come this early in the year, but as you said, we are in first place and have been much of the year. The players love him. I think the staff love him. The fans love him. And did you hear his hero interview after the miracle win there on Monday night? You did.
Yeah,
this absolutely. Guy was in tears, man. He was so moved by what his players did. And it was just a beautiful thing to see how much he cares about this team. And it's not for his own glory. This is for the players. You know, he's always praising them. He is not criticizing them in the post-game interviews. And yeah, after the game, he was just so happy for them. And so I just love the vibe that he brings to this team. And I would dare say even that all the stuff that Sakamoto is doing, like the home run medallion and other stuff that he's been doing to kind of hype up the team, I think that's inspired by Yano as well. I think that Yano, with the Yano guts, right? Like him fist bumping and going out and celebrating wins. People say that it's, you know, it's not what a dignified manager should do. And I say, shut your hole, because he's doing an outstanding job of just showing the team that he loves them and cares for the job that you're doing. So I love it. Okay. Then that's all we've got for our hot topic. And we went long, so I hope you trekked along with us. Let's jump into predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record?
And for the predictions, we are going to look at the Olympic Games. And first of all, Sanjay, what do you think our chances are of coming home with, I say our chances as a non-Japanese, but what do you think Japan's chances are of coming home with a gold medal when all's said and done?
I give the Japanese team about an 80% chance of coming home with a gold.
That's a pretty fair assessment. I wouldn't say you're being too generous or lenient there as well. And I think the pressure on them is quite high. The unfortunate thing for this team is that Sugano has gone down. Nakagawa went down, a reliever, both giants. I don't know if that's coincidence or not. Senga also has looked very bad in his return. And I think he got deactivated again. So I'm not sure how he's going to do. And we were just in a talk with Japan Society. And they were talking about baseball in there as well. And I know they'd talked about that. I think Cromarty had talked about that, but then he didn't talk about Aoyagi. And I think Aoyagi could be the staff ace. Him and Yamamoto still make a pretty mean 1-2 punch in the starting rotation. So, and I like what I see there. I would say this about the Olympic Games. This is the equivalent, at least for me as a Canadian, to the 2010 ice hockey medal game or tournament, if you will, where if Canada didn't win that, like those players would not have been able to make it home alive. And I don't say that literally, but I mean, like it is almost that serious. It's high stakes. This Japanese team has to win gold. If they get the silver, that's the shame of the nation. I hate to say it, but it's true. So I'd love to see them win the gold for sure. Now, my second question for you is, which of the Tigers is going to perform best? Which one is going to stand out, if any? As all of you hopefully know, we've got Koyo Aoyagi, Suguru Iwazaki, and Ryutaro Umeno representing the Tigers at these games. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think Aoyagi, hands down, is going to be the man who's going to make some magic happen on the mound. They've never seen anything like him, or probably most of the teams have not seen any pitcher like him. And as long as he's, you know, he's performing up to the level that he has been this year, I think he's going to be the man for Samurai Japan.
I'd love to see that. And I'm also going to say as a dark horse, Umeno, who, as we know, is a RISP beast. I could see him, you know, and his opposite field singles hitting, but just, you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to necessarily hit the ball out of the park, but he is going to come through in the clutch when the team needs that one run. He's going to be the guy that's going to get it done.
Fair point.
There you have it. Well, thank you for tuning in to H10 for this final episode before the Olympic break. You can listen to this one throughout the entire month because we're probably not coming out with anything new. So split it in two and listen to it one at a time, whatever you want to do. If you haven't gotten your fill of Tigers news, you can check us out on Patreon. We've got all sorts of extra stuff there. You can check out our website. You can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can also listen to the post-show show on YouTube. We are trying to make ourselves a little bit of a presence there as well. Check out all those details in the show notes. Special thanks goes out to Anwar Amr for the theme music and show for mixing the pod for us. Thanks for joining, Sanjay.
Thanks for having me. Aloha.
Catch you all next time.